Good morning. Please remain seated as we join together in our hymn of preparation as printed in your bulletins. Can you tell we've got a new sound system? Good morning and welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church this morning, and a very special welcome to those that are visiting with us this morning. We hope that you have a meaningful worship experience with us and that you will come back to visit us often. If you are a visitor looking for a church home, we hope that you will consider Main Street, and if you will give us your address and phone number as the attendance pads are passed down the pew, then we will have somebody contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of Main Street. And at this time, if you would please pass those attendance pads down, and members and visitors alike, please register your attendance. Several things going on in the life of Main Street. The Main Street Musical Camp is scheduled for November 10th through the 12th. That will be for children first grade through sixth grade, and the children will learn a musical, which they will actually perform at the end of that music camp. The camp begins on Friday evening at 5:30 and will be from 5:30 until 8:30 on Friday, from 10 until 5 on Saturday, and then from 12 until 6 on Sunday, and then they will perform immediately following the camp on Sunday. So if you have a child who is interested in that, please contact Kelly and register them for that music camp. That's November 10th through the 12th. Also want to announce that upper rooms for November and December are now available, and they're available in the narthex or just outside the door here, so you can pick those up. Remember, next Sunday, October the 29th, is our annual Fall Festival. That will be held in the Fellowship Hall beginning at 5 o'clock. There will be games, food, hayride, plenty of candy, so make plans to attend that next Sunday at 5 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall. Our Wednesday night gatherings will continue this Wednesday night. As usual, the meal begins at 5:15. The program begins at 6:15. Again, this week you will have two options on the program. Reverend Dennis will be doing a Bible study on dreams and visions in the Bible. And the second option is a DVD series, Making Love Last a Lifetime, and that will be led by Jim and Kathy Kelly. The meal this week will be catered by Capri's, and it will be a pot roast of beef, baked sweet potato with honey butter, green bean casserole, cherry cobbler, and cornbread. We do need you to make reservations for that, and you can do so by using the yellow card in the pew rack or by calling the church office. Again, if you do have standing reservations and for some reason will not be able to attend, please contact the church office and let them know that so that we will have a good count on the number of people that we'll need to have a meal for. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Thank you. Please stand and join me in the call to worship. May those who love your salvation say continually, "Great is the Lord." Yea, our heart is glad in God, because we trust in God's holy name. Let us make a joyful noise to God with songs of praise. We praise you, O God. We acknowledge you to be the Lord. Please be seated. And join me in the invocation as printed in your bulletin. O God, in mystery and silence, you are present in our lives, bringing new life out of destruction, hope out of despair, growth out of difficulty. We thank you that you do not leave us alone, but labor to make us whole. Help us to perceive your unseen hand in the unfolding of our lives, and to attend to the gentle guidance of your Spirit, that we may know the joy you give your people. Amen.
As we come to our time of prayer, I have several additions to our concern list. Let us do be in prayer, and Christian sympathy extended to Goldie Davis upon the death of her son, Mark Stewart. And also a special prayer for Thomas Wilson as he recovers from mono, a severe case of mono. And Geddes Anderson asked that we pray especially for his son, Drake, who will have some tests at the Medical University in Charleston tomorrow morning. And also we've been asked to pray very specifically for Ryan McDaniel, who will have surgery Tuesday morning, brain surgery, Tuesday morning at Baptist Hospital in Columbia. Let us certainly be in prayer for him and for his doctors and for his family. And do be in prayer for Ruth Medley as she recovers on the transitional floor, the second floor at the hospital. and for Caroline Whitener, as she is in hospice now. And for all the other names that we have listed, I call them to your attention and to your reading. And add to that list Ann West, mother, who is in the hospital in Hampton, Claire Causey. Let us lift up these concerns as well as our own personal and private concerns as we go together to God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, in a time of uncertainty, we turn to you. There is so much wonder in this world and so much horror as we misuse your creation and abuse the power and wealth you have entrusted unto us. We seek your will and the courage and faith to follow you. So many voices cry out, follow me and this way, and yet we know all paths are dead ends except the path that follows the love, the grace, and the forgiveness of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, give us the grace to follow more closely. And give us the grace to love and to forgive and to serve you in humility. Lord, we are often confused and timid in our faith. Lead us to further our faith and to further the ministry of your Son along the holy path you call us to. We pray for our church and for the witness of all who claim the name of Christ everywhere. We pray for our nation and its leaders and for the leaders of the nations of the world. May you open them to the influence of your Holy Spirit. We pray for those who are grieving, for those who are troubled, for those who are bitter and misguided and self-destructive and embattled. Lord, we lift up our private prayers, our thanksgivings, our confessions, our prayers for guidance and for one another. We lift them up in silence, in our hearts, knowing that you hear. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I ask the children to come forward at this time for the children's message this morning with Jack Carmody.
Okay, we got a big crowd this morning. How are y'all this morning? Doing good? Okay, well, I want to show y'all a picture, and I need you to tell me who is in the picture. Okay, are y'all ready? I'm going to show you a picture. Be watching. Who is that? Do we all know who that is? For the congregation. That's right, it's Simba, also known as the Lion King, right? Have we all seen the Lion King, the movie? Yeah, it's a pretty good movie. There are lots of sequels to it also. So what can y'all tell me about a king? What is a king like? Anybody know? Yeah. A ruler, that's right. Kings rule over a land, a country, a territory. Exactly right. Anything else? What are kings like? Yeah. Ooh. God's a ruler and he's king of the town. That's exactly right. Yeah, well, kings, let me ask y'all something about a king on earth. If a king on earth, if he's hungry, does the king go into the kitchen and fix himself a sandwich and pour his own Coke? No. What would a king do? That's right. The king would get his servants to do that. Exactly right. What if the king's room was like a big mess and there was just stuff everywhere? Do you think the king would clean it up himself? Nah, king would probably get a servant to do it. What if the king's lawn was really tall? Do you think the king would go out and fire up the lawnmower and go out and mow his own lawn? Probably. He'd probably get someone else to do it because kings have servants, right? Well, that's most normal kings are like that, but I want to tell y'all about a different king in the Bible, and his name is Jesus. Did y'all know that Jesus was a king? And let me tell you what Jesus did for us. Jesus came down from heaven and walked on this earth, and instead of having people serve him, Jesus actually served them. And that's kind of weird to think about a king doing that, but that's what he did. Jesus was all the time healing people. He was feeding the hungry. He was spending time with people that were outcasts and didn't have a lot of friends. And Jesus was doing this all the time. And that's not like a normal king would do. The normal king would have servants and things like that to take care of those things. But Jesus was different. And he served us. And the biggest way he served us was, did y'all know that Jesus lived a pretty hard life? He had people constantly making fun of him, talking about him behind his back. Jesus went through a lot of pain when he was on this earth. He suffered a lot. And you know why he did that? Because he was serving us. When Jesus went through all those hard times and when he suffered so much, he did that for us so that we could be forgiven of our sins, of all the bad stuff that we do, all the bad stuff that we think. And that's sometimes we think things that we don't actually do. But even those things that we think are still bad, and we need forgiveness from those. And Jesus came down from heaven and walked the earth. And he suffered and had a hard life. But you know why he did that? Because he was serving us. And he gives us that same chance to be forgiven if we repent and say we're sorry for our sins and turn away from our sins and give our life to Jesus. And that is how he served us, which is kind of weird to think about that a king would do that. But that's the king that we love and that we worship, and that's why we're here today. So I want y'all to think about that as we go through the rest of the service. Will y'all have a prayer with me? Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for sending Jesus to serve us. We thank you for his love and his sufferings that were all for us so that we could be forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys.
Now let us pass the peace.
The Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Job, chapter 38, verses 1 through 7. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you shall declare to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and the heavenly being shouted for joy?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading this morning is taken from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. "Every high priest chosen from among mortals is put in charge of things pertaining to God on their behalf, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is subject to weakness. And because of this, he must offer sacrifice for his own sins as well as those of the people. And one does not presume to take this honor, but takes it only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.' As he says also in another place, 'You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek.' In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplication with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Now let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, our special gifts. Creator God, we know that the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen. Please join me for the gospel reading on page 57 of your pew Bibles, page 57, the Gospel of Mark, the 10th chapter, verses 35 through 45. Hear now God's word. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." And then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. I'm going to ask our sound man to cut my pulpit mic up just a little bit. We haven't gotten this all adjusted out right. I feel my voice getting weaker, so I'll need the mic to take over. There you go. Thank you. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, I've already mentioned my sister at one devotion I did to the men's club, but I'll mention her to you. My sister has a confidence problem. She has too much of it. She has a self-esteem problem, too. Some of you who lack proper self-esteem, my sister got yours. I'm the oldest, and her nickname is Sissy, and I gave her that nickname, and that was the last decision that anyone has ever made for her. She is a Methodist minister's wife, and after living out of state for several years, she came back to an annual conference. She attended a minister's wives meeting, and with a loud public question, she said, "Who used to be in charge here?" She actually did that. James and John ask a question of Jesus one day. In real English, they ask, "Jesus, we want you to say yes to what we're about to ask you, okay? Now here it is. In your glorious kingdom, we want to sit at the places of honor right next to you, one at your right hand and one at your left. We would like to be large and in charge." Now the Bible says, "Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. In order to see ourselves realistically, we are to, in humility, receive the implanted word," it says in James. "And then we must use that word as a mirror in order to see our true spiritual condition and change what needs changing." Again, from James. Scripture calls for sober judgment about our true selves and humility and change. Now, these attitudes can lead us to unity under Jesus Christ, consensus that God alone is good, and we have a long way to go. Have you seen the political ads this season? I know you have. You can't avoid them. We even get ads from North Carolina and Georgia. We're getting them from all over the place. I wonder, is there such a thing as consensus in public debate anymore? Is there such a thing as unity anymore? Is there such a thing as people putting their egos aside and cooperating without name-calling, without backbiting, without seeking to undercut the goals of another? I actually fear that even if one party had a wonderful idea, there would be immediate opposition from the opposing party. Even if their own ideas came out of the mouths of the opposition, I think they would turn and oppose their own ideas. And this is the attitude that I see. The idea of finding a middle ground and a true consensus and unity of purpose is gone. Everyone has taken sides, and they refuse to see any honor or wisdom in the other side. There seems to be almost no middle ground. And it concerns me in our nation, and it concerns me in our church. You know, nations are made up simply of people. And if you believe the biblical estimation of people, all people are sinners, every single one. And that means when you vote in an election, you are always choosing the lesser of two evils, because evil infects every single one of us. Selfishness and self-will and the will to power over others infects every human being. Unity is of God. And we can truly be unified when we all see ourselves as fallen and fallible, redeemed by the grace of God, not by anything we have done, nor by anything we could do. God alone is good. God alone is Lord. And Jesus says here, lording over others, being a tyrant over others. He said that we as Christians are not to do this, no matter how common it is in the world. We are not to act this way. Lording over others is deciding that you should get what you want because you want it, and simply demanding that your will be done. Getting what you want or making others pay. That is lording over others. And it is forbidden. It is forbidden behavior for Christians. It is wrong in a government. It is wrong in a church. It is wrong in a marriage. It is wrong in a family. There must be recognition of the worth and the image of God, which exists even in the lowliest and even in the powerless among us. Lording over others demeans and devalues a person created in the image of God. It is a serious offense. None of us have all the answers. None of us have all the wisdom. None of us can sit in God's chair and pass judgment. Now, changing gears a little, I've been talking to some folks who are deep in this community lately, and some out at Wesley Commons and others. And a long time ago, you may not know this, but churches were planted pretty much by the mills in each little community or each little mill village. Usually there was one Methodist and one Baptist, and the churches back then were, to a large degree, run by the mills. Now, that day is gone, and that's a good thing. But I've heard that some of those ideas infected Main Street, too. And years ago, one of the members of this church went to one of our bishops, and he said, "Here's a list of five preachers that we will accept," to the bishop. Imagine the bishop who appoints the ministers being told how to do his job. Now, we have a structure where ministers are appointed, not called, but appointed. And this list of five was highly out of order. And I am sure that it just came from years of just doing things that way. But it was not a good thing. In fact, it was an example of trying to lord over others. To get what you want because you want it and forget structure, propriety, and order. And I guess if you are used to calling the shots in business, you tend to forget and try to do that everywhere. But that's not how it works in a Christian church. That is not who we are. And also in our nation, our founding fathers knew well that we have a tendency to write our egos large over others and everyone else. And that's why we have the checks and the balances in government. We hear that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. That is merely an echo of what the founders knew from their knowledge of Scripture and from history. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We need checks, we need balances, we need order. But we want what we want because we want it, and if we don't get it, we stamp our feet. That is still a reality of human nature. As we age and we get more sophisticated, the ways that we stamp our feet change, but we don't really change that much. From age 1 to age 100, unless we allow ourselves to be humbled before God, God who loves us, and God who can change our hearts and make us new creatures, and make us able to serve instead of demand to be served. God can give us a new vision for unity under God's grace, under God's forgiveness, but with the full realization that we too, all of us, need God's grace and forgiveness. We do not have the wherewithal, and we do not have the wisdom to pretend to lord over others. Now, we can introduce others to God, And that is what we are called to do. And God has some boundaries that are very well defined. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. From the Old Testament down to Jesus' teachings, that word is constant. And there is a humility in that, and there is a connectedness in that. There is one Lord, and that is the God of Abraham and Jacob and Isaac, and the Lord that we know through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all, and we are forgiven sinners. Humility is our place, and service is our call. When we lead under God, under Christ. We are not Lord over anyone. We can't stamp our feet, withhold our money, take our ball, and run home. We who follow Christ as Lord follow His rules, and we love God with our whole heart, mind, and soul, and love neighbor as self. We respect our neighbor. We tell no lies. We pass no judgments. We must never carry the worldly tendency of lording over others into the church, or into our marriages, or into our families. The true mark of wisdom as a Christian is humility. The true mark of wisdom as a Christian is humility. Knowing God and knowing your own heart as God has revealed it to you will lead you to humility. You know, your nearest neighbor is your husband or your wife or your parents or your brothers or your sisters. In these relationships too, we are to work for unity and peace. This is our calling. This is our calling. One who says, "My will be done," instead of "God's will be done," has not learned humility, but has made himself or herself a little god. After resting in God's arms as a humble, forgiven sinner, we dare not go back and forget. Go back to "My will be done." You know why? Because we can't trust our own will. And none of us can. Apart from God, we cannot trust that what we want or what we want from others is good or right. Proverbs, the third proverb says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. Do not be wise in your own eyes." Power of money, power of opinions, discounting others without listening to them. One brick at a time, we destroy relationships when we lord over others. As I've said before, I believe that God is in our midst. Where two or more are gathered in God's name, there God is in our midst. That's in the middle. And if we don't seek the middle ground where God is, then we are seeking to lord our will over others. If we don't seek the middle ground where God is, then we are placing ourselves where God belongs. We are lording over others. Now, I'm not saying that there are not times when people are factually right or factually wrong. But what I'm saying is the way that we speak and relate to others must be in humility. I'm beginning to learn that being factually right is not enough. If I come across as arrogant, even if I'm right, I'm wrong. You can do the right thing the wrong way. My wife Caroline has been telling me that for some time now. You can say the right thing the wrong way. I'm learning it. We are fellow travelers on this journey from birth to death and eternity. This mysterious journey where no one knows all the answers, but we each can know the Creator God, and His answer is, "I love you, I forgive you your sinfulness and your arrogance. I love you. Now go forth." God says, "I have served you on the cross. I have shown you how terrible is the end of the arrogance of power. I have shown that clearly enough on the cross. As you go forth in my name, you dare not become arrogant with whatever power you possess, over whomever. You dare not lord over others. The Son of Man came to serve, not to be served. And I send you forth to serve, not to be served." When we define ourselves in any other way than a sinner saved by grace, we are trying to climb up above and look down on somebody. Why do we do that? It's just another example of lording over others, looking down on others. For some people, that's what life is about, to get higher and higher until you arrive. But arrive where? God came down. among the lowest common denominator, the outcast, because the powerful already had their self-definition. They were not interested in Jesus. They already had their rewards. Of course, when they die and go back to dust and rust and decay, everything they owned is gone away. And so it's silly then, and it's silly now. We forget who Jesus was and how he came to condemn that entire frame of mind, that frame of mind we constantly are in danger of falling back into. He came down, all the way down to the bottom, as a servant, as one approachable by lepers and by prostitutes and by criminals. They approached him as one who was as humble as he was. He did not condemn. He did not lord over them, even though he was God in flesh. He did not lord over them. And as followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to serve in his name, especially to serve the powerless, the voiceless, the forgotten. And we can't do that from on high. I'm going to read a few verses as I close from Philippians, the second chapter. Let each one of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. And so when we get right with God, God always sends us out to get right with others. And if you aren't right with others, then it is time to go back to the beginning and get right with God. Love God and love your neighbor. There is no way to separate the two. Humility and seeking the middle ground under the lordship of Jesus Christ. This is where we should be. If we are not there now, I invite you to come to pray about it during the closing hymn. Amen. Please stand. Thank you. I remind you, those of you who are on the Board of Stewards, that today at 5 o'clock we have a very important meeting. Please make every effort to be there and attend if you are a voting member. And now for our benediction and blessing. Receive this blessing. The blessing of the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness which is yours through your Savior, Jesus Christ, and the fellowship and wisdom and courage and strength which is yours through the presence of God in this moment through His Holy Spirit. May you be sustained in your faith from this life unto life eternal. Amen.